Our family loves memory making, and we love memory making on hiking adventures, locally and when visiting other regions. And we have found it's really good to pause and look back on past hikes, and such reflections typically help inform current hiking we're about to do or future adventures. Some of you might remember we had the experience a couple years back down at Lock 12 in the Holtwood area. The ugly day we experienced a smash and grab. We were down there and we came out of the woods and we discovered when we came out that while we had been in the woods hiking the trails that afternoon, someone smashed our car window and swiped Nance's purse in the process. Can I hear a collective pity? Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it truly was a mess. I mean, it was one of those deals where it was like, oh, and it was way worse than this. It wasn't just the smashed glass. It was they were sloppy with it when they smashed the glass. They went into the frame, I see it up here, and then over on the side into the frame of the door. And so it meant it wasn't just glass. We needed bodywork on the car. It was ugly, and they swiped her purse. And the whole deal was a great big mess. And out of that, you know what happens every time we go hiking anywhere? What happens? We hear a voice in our hearts and heads. And then we say it out loud to each other. Don't leave your purse out in the open. Bury it in the back under a coat. And we do this every time. Even if, like, it's a parking lot and there are lights there and everything. I mean, it's just, every time we say it, we hear this voice and we say it out loud. Bury it in the back, under a coat, out of sight. Place all smaller valuables in the glove box and actually lock it and take all keys with us and wrap the car in barbed wire and post four dogs at each corner. Not that bad. But we rehearse it in our hearts and we vocalize what we ought to do, what we ought not to do together. This morning, to cap off this series, we're going to hear Jesus say again to us, as we've heard throughout the series, listen to me, I'm your king, follow my kingdom heart and love-focused values above all else. Listen to me, I'm your king, follow my kingdom heart and love-focused values above all else. A collection of prophetic, apocalyptic visions and revelations starts out like this. I invite you to Revelation chapter 1 this morning. Revelation 1, it starts out like this. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. We sang these lines earlier. And from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And we really can't hear these words in Revelation 1 without recognizing similarities to Jesus' kingdom call in the Gospels, his rule and reign in everyday life, which is the essence of what Jesus is calling his followers to in the Gospels. His rule and reign in everyday life. Much like our family remembering past hiking adventures and hearing those voices about what to do and what not to do, it's really good after we've been in a series like we've been through this fall to pause and reflect on what we've heard from Christ. It can help dramatically inform our current adventures in following him and our adventures to come. We've looked at a cast of current day characters, from NFL stars to Vladimir Putin, from the Pope to US politicians, plus pop stars like Katy Perry and Justin Bieber. We've aimed to explore Jesus' words in Luke 6, the Sermon on the Plain, plus other scenes and sayings in Luke, aiming to hear what he says, yes, to these characters, but much more importantly, to each of us. Current, real time. What Jesus wants to say, that the implications of Jesus being our King, the implications of his everyday kingdom in our lives today. Through it all, we've seen Jesus emphasizing his kingly rule in his eternal kingdom. We've heard him say, "Blessed are the poor. The kingdom is yours." We've heard him say, "Love your enemies." In other words, make yours a godlike, tangible, explicit love. Bless others, even when you're hated and treated unjustly. Live your life in my upside-down way, Jesus says, true kingdom way. Live that way. Choose joy, even when life feels cursed. We've heard Jesus say, be warned. Whoa, whoa, he says to you when it seems like you're living the luxurious, self-centered, good life. Run after different values, he says. Do good. Don't be arrogant and judgy and all about yourself and judgy toward others. Deeply forgive. Deeply forgive and give in extraordinary, intentional ways. We've heard Jesus say, learn and live wise. Be very right-sized, self-aware. Watch what you say. Your words reveal the fruit and what kind of tree, good or bad. Truly walk the talk. And build your life on the rock, solid foundation so you're ready to withstand the inevitable storms of life. Jesus says, listen to me. I'm your King. Follow me. Follow my kingdom heart and love-focused values above all else, he says. So it's really powerful, these opening chapters of Revelation, to hear Jesus' words to the seven churches. These were seven literal churches in various regions of the late first century common era, first century AD. End of chapter one tells how they're visually represented by seven stars and seven golden lampstands. It's picturesque. And now look at Revelation 2, verses 1 through 3. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds. Jesus says, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Now, note several special things right here. First, angel. Angel could indeed mean a special heavenly angel. Like, you know, we're coming into the Advent season and we think of angels and winged flight over top in the heavens. And it might mean that. But the biblical term can be translated simply as messenger. So the letters might actually be earmarked, attention to the pastors and lead people at each of these local church locations in that day. Whether the one to receive each letter is celestial, like a winged flight angel, or a down-to-earth earthly leader, what's really important to note is that the message is sent to a messenger. And what's really important to note is that King Jesus wants to be heard and responded to. King Jesus wants to be heard and responded to. He doesn't leave his churches in the dark to flail around and wander aimlessly and hopelessly. He wants to be heard. And we see his precise ownership of the message right here. Jesus' precise ownership. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars and walks among the seven gold lampstands. Note Jesus' role. He holds his people. And he walks among us. He holds his people and he walks among us. Let that encourage your heart today. What assurance, what comfort in his keeping, in his direction and joy and confidence he brings. Whether you had a really rough week or whether you had a mountaintop kind of week, whether you liked the outcome of the elections or not, let it bolster your heart. He's holding on to us and walking among us. He's that kind of king. This isn't some pie in the sky, oh, maybe it's true pipe dream. It's stated fact about King Jesus M.O. It's how he rolls. It's what he does. Let that settle in your heart. He holds us and he walks among us. When's the last time you actually personalized his presence in your life like that? And let that bring you assurance and bring you confidence in your own relationship, in your own faith journey. And then note this, there's a cascade of affirmations from King Jesus to the Ephesians. Hard work, perseverance, opposition to wicked and false people, endurance in hardship for Jesus' fame and reputation, and overall tenacity. He spotlights that. He affirms that in the Ephesians. Catch it. You have not grown weary. Wow. That is so good. And some of us need to hear Jesus speak such words of affirmation over us. When's the last time you actually let Jesus affirm you? This is all really good and life-giving. Yes, and as is often the case with Jesus and his holy words, the sacred scriptures, there's also a but, or in this case, it's yet. Verses 4 through 6, King Jesus says, yet I hold this against you. And note what he says. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, here are some serious words of correction and challenge from Jesus. He says, you've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent. Do the first things. If you don't, wow. What's going on and what's Jesus mean right here? What's he mean by love you had at first? Scholar Ian Paul helps us. Ian Paul says, all the work in the world, it appears, is worth nothing without love at its heart. If John is writing in the mid-90s, Ian Paul says, if John is writing in the mid-90s, then the community will have been in existence for 40 years, there in the first century AD. Then the community will have been in existence for 40 years, so it is quite possible that it has lost its first excitement and commitment. It could then either be their love for God or their love for one another, and the text here gives us no further clue one way or another. In any case, in John's writings, the two are inseparable, since we cannot claim to love God without showing love to our brothers and sisters. 1 John 4, verse 20. Obviously, something's become stale. Is anybody here who actually, you really like stale bread? Anybody? Some of you are like, week after next with stuffing turkey. Yeah. But no, seriously, anybody like you go and you pull out the loaf of bread and you're like, ooh, well-aged bread, yeah. No, why? And right here, Jesus is saying that something's gone stale. Ho-hum, too predictable, flat, formulaic, robotic, about their attitude and actions, both toward God and toward others, toward other people. It's actually the antithesis of Jesus' call we've heard in Luke 6 about genuine love in action. It's a marvelous call from King Jesus to repent, to return, to renew, to revive the original spark. Now, you know how this works in a number of arenas of life. You do. You might have seen such a phenomenon with a hobby that you loved. You've previously poured yourself into that hobby or that craft. Maybe it was for you or for some of your family, maybe it was antiques. And you had a whole season where you were like, oh yeah, we're into antiquing. We got found this deal and we revamped it. It's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, you know, after a few years of doing that, it's not that big a deal anymore. I see guys go through this with their golf game, where they keep golfing, but they get out there and it's just kind of predictable and they're not really as excited about golf anymore. And then all of a sudden they get out there one day and they get that one shot and they're like, oh yeah, this is why I love golf. Or I've watched guys do it with hunting. How many of you are done for the year? You're done. Anybody? Oh, some of you are still out there, okay. I've watched guys do it with hunting where they miss the big buck. And they come back and they tell everybody about it. They go back out the next year. They miss the big buck again. And they come back and they tell everybody about it. Nobody believes that big buck is there anymore. And then what? And they go back out and finally, boom, they bring down the big buck. And this is why I loved hunting. And there's that reignited spark about it. Many of you have encountered this with romantic love and marriage. Things weren't awful, just rather predictable. But then you intentionally took that getaway trip together, or you just had a really wonderful Friday night where somebody took the kids and you had a real date night and you sensed something rekindle in your relationship. Now, all of those are just a little window into what Jesus is calling us to as his followers. But much deeper and much more significant, soul-shaping and destiny-marking. And we're going to talk more in a couple minutes about how to do that, how to rekindle, how to renew. But first, I want you to note Jesus' unique tone right here. See, he gives his string of affirmations, he gives his strong corrective, and then he comes back to affirmation. Note verse 6. He says, but you have this in your favor, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. It's important to note that in a growing relationship of learning to follow Jesus, we learn to hate sin and love holiness. We learn to hate evil and wicked practices, and we learn to love becoming more like Jesus. And he says, this is true of you. This is true. This is going on for you. Nobody knows definitively who the Nicolaitans were. There's speculation. Nobody knows for sure who they were or exactly what their evil practices were, but Jesus affirms the mutual hatred. Note it's toward their practices, not the people, the persons. That's how God rolls. Hatred toward evil, love for people. Hatred toward evil, love for people. And that's how he wants us to roll as well, but hatred should and needs to have a growing place in your life as a follower of Jesus. Hate evil, love holiness. Hate what's wicked and wrong and sinful, love becoming more like Jesus. And then catch this. We see Jesus' posture of affirmation and correction and then more affirmation. Note this, verse 7. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Play along for a minute. Do a check. Still got ears? Do a check. Go ahead. Got them? Yeah, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Here's early clue to Revelation's aim, calling people to focus on King Jesus, calling people back home to the original creation, the stuff of Genesis 1 and 2, restoration to the kingdom garden, to the paradise of God, the tree of life. Here's new creation in full expression because of King Jesus. Jesus says, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm your king. Follow my kingdom heart and values, my love-focused values above all else. Jump to the end of Jesus' sayings in this section, chapter 3. Jump to the end of chapter 3, and we read his words to the church at Laodicea. Jesus goes right to the corrective challenge. He doesn't give affirmation right away. He immediately tells them, they're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And so he says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He strongly challenges them to be responsive so that their condition becomes passionate again, healthy, flourishing once again. Jesus says he's so ready. He's standing right there at the door, knocking on the door, ready for a feast of fellowship with us. At the very end of chapter 3, verse 22, he says it again. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And between King Jesus' affirmations and corrections to these two churches, to the Ephesians and then the Laodiceans, there are five other call-outs. And I encourage you, if you're intrigued by all this, read it this week. Soak it in. Hear what Jesus says. Five other call-outs. Each contains unique, specific call from King Jesus. Based on both the first and the last letters, how can we rekindle? How can we rekindle first love and turn up the temperature in our relationship with Jesus? Well, I want to give you four essentials, and there are others. It may be that during this time as I'm sharing these four, something else may come to your heart and mind. And if that's the case, if the Spirit speaks that to you, write it down. I encourage you to capture it. But here are four essentials. First of all, quiet the noise. Quit the noise. Clear the distraction. Clear the distractions. Watch this. Take a look. It's essential we quit the noise, quiet the distractions. Second essential, I'm good. Take your temp. Now we all got really, really used to this. It became really annoying, right? You know, they had all those months of everywhere you went, somebody's gonna scan you and all that. But when's the last time you actually took your spiritual temperature? When's the last time you let the Spirit of God take your temperature? How does one do such a scan? Really? Well, first, honestly ask God to search you and know your heart. Ask him. It's the stuff of Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me and know my heart. Ask God. Ask yourself. Here's two probing questions. What's really solid about my faith journey right now? It's a great question to ask. What's really solid? And hear the affirmations. And second, what's shaky? Meh. Compromised. Unholy, mixed up, messed up, or still in process. These two questions can provide a really good soul scan in your heart and life to take your temperature. And then here's the next level. Take your temp step. Ask someone else, a living person you love and trust, these questions about you. And be open to what you hear the Lord say and others say, and evaluate them, and trust them both. Here's the next essential for rekindling your first love. Based on what you hear in response to those scanned questions, sincerely nod yes, Go ahead, practice it for a minute. Play along, go ahead. You nod yes? What does a sincere nod like that mean? I agree. This is where you humbly and authentically own what you hear the Spirit of God and others speak into your life. Own it. Confession at its core means to say the same thing as God, and it's essential if we're going to rekindle that original flame, that original spark, if we're going to raise our temperature for love for Christ. So you hear his assessment, and you say, yep, that's me. Yep, that's true of me. It's essential. Essential for reigniting your first love and turning up the temperature. And here's the fourth essential. Hit a new igniter switch. Some of you are impressed this actually lit, right? Because you know what it's like. You have these at home, right? It's like, oh boy, and you know, one out of three times in my life. What we need so much is when we've assessed, when we've scanned, when we've listened to the Spirit of Christ speak into our lives, when we've been open and authentic and let others speak in, and we've nodded yes, it's then essential to actually hit the igniter switch. Too often, we own things and we say, yes, I'm lukewarm, I'm tepid, I'm kind of just going through the motions right now. And we do confess, and we might even feel remorse, but then we just wallow there in the ugh and apathy. You ever have your grill on the back deck or back patio not light, or your furnace stop firing? Seems like the grill thing happens to us every few years in the middle of cooking. It's always in the middle of cooking something really delectable, sometimes even at the holidays. Now, what do you do when that happens? Do you just give up and say, oh, okay, we surrender, we'll eat bologna? No. What do you do? You figure out how are we going to reignite that thing, you know? And off to BJ's, you go to get the new tank of propane if you need it, or you get out there and you're punching the igniter switch again. You're doing whatever it takes to light the flame again. Make the choice to do that in your love for Christ and your love for others. And I'm going to give you one super practical step you can take in order to do that. Push ignite with what's planned for the next 7 weeks via Christ's flames right here at Manor Church. Now seriously, watch this. I want to give you an overview of what we're going to do together in the next 7 weeks. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. Now, don't let that scare you. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, yikes. No, just let it soak in your heart and mind and come ready to share thanks. We're going to have open mics. You're going to get to hear a baptism story, and we're going to have a time of praise. I want to encourage you, and this is loaded there in your church app, read some favorite psalms this week just to kind of get your heart ready and passionate again about giving praise and thanks, and soak up what a couple of key psalms mean to you. Maybe come ready to read a couple verses from some psalms and just start to think about some everyday things, maybe big, maybe small, and everything in between that you're really grateful for and come ready to share. There's something so good about gratitude that sparks our hearts back toward God and back toward others. Next week's Thanksgiving Sunday. And then the next Sunday, Brian said it earlier, it starts Advent, and our theme this year is the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas. And there are going to be prompters each week for both individuals and a family guide that's being carefully crafted. And I want to encourage you, go ahead and fully engage during the season. All in. And if you've been sort of like, that's nice, well, quit that. Seriously, quit it. And instead start to say, you know what? I'm gonna pay attention. I'm gonna be on that app every week, and I'm gonna be in the scriptures that are there. And we're gonna give you prayer prompters every week, some really special prayer rhythms, and we're gonna give you some ideas for how to like live out this love with other people every week. And just be ready for that. And instead of like caving in to what can be meh about the season, sometimes like we just kind of accept that from culture and society and the world at large. Don't get too hyped about it. No. Instead say, wow, I'm going to lean into the wonder of this season because I want to love Jesus more and I want to show his love to others. Let that spark happen in you. You're going to have opportunities all the next 7 weeks toward greater levels of generosity. Take some risks and go there. Very intentionally, think about one or two or maybe three people in your workplace or in your neighborhood and say, that's going to be my love focus. Those folks need blessed. Don't get caught by the worldly lie that says, oh, I just want to bless everybody. I want to love everybody at the holidays. You won't do that. No. Focus in on one or two or three key people and watch for the precious opportunity to love them with Jesus' practical love. And again, you can clue in on all of that at our church app. And if you don't have it yet, jump on it right there. Church Center, and you select Manor Church. I want to urge you as we finish today to do that temperature check. The question's right there. What's Jesus say to us? What's he saying to you? What's he saying to me? He's saying, listen to me. I'm your king. Follow my kingdom heart and love-focused values. Listen to me. I'm your king. Follow my kingdom heart and my love-focused values above all else. So I want to give you this opportunity as the band is coming, and Gabby and the crew are going to come and lead us in a closing song in a minute. But as they're coming, I want to invite you to consider these questions calmly and quietly right now. And I invite you to stand. Go ahead and stand your feet. And then I'm just going to invite you to, as you stand, I'm going to invite you to reflect on these two questions again. What's really solid about your faith journey right now? What do you hear the Spirit of Jesus say to you and affirm in you? Soak that up. Don't jump to the negative. Like let him affirm a couple of core things in your heart and life. Listen to that. Rejoice in that. Sense his smile and hear his delight over you as his daughter, as his son. Hear that delight. And then second, what's shaky? Like seriously, stare into this. What's meh? What's compromised? What's unholy? What's still in process? And dare to go there and own it. All right, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and I invite you to just ponder and think. Gabby's gonna play quietly. I'm gonna be quiet too. Go ahead. Listen to the Spirit of Christ. We praise you right now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the things that you have spoken and you are speaking to us. Thank you for affirmations. And thank you for those ways that you're challenging us and correcting us and sending us down new paths. Thank you. Please spark new things in our hearts and ignite fresh passion so we can love you and love others with all we've got. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing out together.